I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
KFI AM 640, you're listening to the John and Ken Show on demand on the iHeartRadio app. You can hear the show live on the radio from 1 until 4. After 4 o'clock, if you miss things, you go to the iHeart app. It's John and Ken On Demand, the podcast. Listen to that.
Yeah, and tomorrow during the 3 o'clock hour, we'll be back with the Moist Line callers. If you'd like to be a part of that, well, leave your message using the iHeart Radio app, the microphone icon, or call the toll-free number 1-877-MOIST-86, 1-877-664-7886. Next hour, we'll be talking to City Councilwoman Tracy Park about her motion to go after what they are referring to as landlords. These are people who rent out RVs to individuals experiencing homelessness. It says that in her press release, John. I'm just reading it. Okay.
Experiencing homelessness?
Tell her when she comes on next hour that you don't like it when people have to use those extra words.
I'm not going to get... She's trying to do everything else right.
Who rent out RVs to bums. That's what you would do with it.
Yes. Yeah. That's what's going on.
They're bums or vagrants.
They're renting it out to bums, yes.
Hobos. That'd be a great name for a ball team, wouldn't it? The Hobos?
The Hoboken Hobos.
So we'll talk to her in 1 hour, and we'll tell you about what another state is doing when it comes to the vagrant problem. Far different from California. We're going to begin this hour with the laughable nonsense that occurs in Washington, D.C. Since it's so far away, we don't talk a lot about Congress because, honestly,
it's useless.
They're mostly a bunch of blowhards, right? I love it when they have hearings, committee hearings.
Yeah. They don't do anything.
Everybody gets to sit there and make their big statement, and they bring these witnesses up there, and they usually play this game of gotcha, one party after the other.
Nothing happens after the hearings, though. Nobody suffers.
Several things have happened that are kind of amusing, and one also is important that we'll get into. We're going to begin with another shouting match. Usually it's the activists who are shouting in front of the reporters, trying to get attention for an issue, but this time it was the actual Congress members who were all shouting at each other. The reason is that we have this New York state congressman by the name of George Santos, a Republican. Actually, Long Island, John. He represents a population in Nassau County, Long Island, I believe. He came on the scene. He was newly elected in 2023.
And he's a complete fake. I've never seen a guy like a 100% fake, every cell in his body.
His resume was completely fake. Where he went to school, his jobs, everything was a fake.
He said he was at Goldman Sachs.
He said he went to some college that he didn't go to, and it was all of this stuff that's come out. And now he's been indicted on federal charges for fraud, money laundering, theft of public funds, and making false statements to Congress. He won't resign. I actually was in New York a couple of weekends ago, and I saw an excerpt of an interview with him. And the woman, the reporter, said to him, "What good are you in Congress? You have no committee assignments. You're like an outcast." And he goes, "Oh, that's not entirely true. I'm still in communication with the people from both sides of the aisle." She said, "Name names." "Oh, no, I won't do that."
Yeah, they're all calling him to tell him to resign.
Yeah, that's the communication, exactly.
Those are the messages.
So the Democrats put up something in Congress to remove him. The Republicans, though, didn't go for it. That's what kind of led to this political theater on the steps of the United States Capitol. In the first clip, you'll be hearing from a New York congressman, and we played him yelling before, Jamal Bowman. And also getting involved is John's favorite occasional cortex, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
And it, does Marjorie Taylor Greene make an appearance in this clip?
She does in the next one. The first clip is just Bowman and AOC yelling. Santos is there. The press is trying to interview him. They come up and they say this stuff.
I can't continue to address you guys because there's a deranged member here. So I'm going to walk.
Kick him out. He's got to go. And he was telling the press, I can't talk to you right now because there's crazy people around me. The next exchange is longer. And this is Jamal Bowman again. And yes, John's favorite, the Georgia Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene.
This is the cream of the crazy people, this crowd, these three.
Save the party. The party's hanging by a thread.
We got to get rid of Biden. The party's hanging by a thread.
You got to save the party. Listen, no more QAnon. No more Magna.
No more CNN.
No more debt ceiling nonsense. Come on now. Save the party.
Save America.
Save the children.
Save the country.
Do something about guns.
Right. So close the border.
Come on. Invest in education.
Close the border. Save the children.
The border is what Trump left.
Hey, where are all the kids? Where are all the migrant children? You guys have lost them.
We're accepting them. We love them.
No, you've lost them.
We love the migrant children.
There's tens of thousands missing.
We lost them.
Bunch of morons.
What are you talking about?
God.
Yeah, migrant children missing. You don't know the news.
Let me tell you something, Jamal.
Mental institution. It really is an outdoor mental institution.
What they do is they cling on to bits of stories. She's doing this whole thing about saving the migrant children. Of course, there was that report that a number of them had been turned over to like slave labor. I don't know if that's what she was referring to.
What are you accomplishing by shouting outdoors?
Because all the reporters are there, it's a moment to have your maniac self in the public eye.
It's really convincing to stand and scream outside the Capitol. Listen.
So he's yelling, do something about guns, and she's yelling, close the border. He's yelling, no more QAnon, no more MAGA, no more debt ceiling nonsense. She's yelling back, impeach Biden. It's like I told you, they can truncate everything.
Okay, very
good. I think it's amusing.
Great debate. Thank you for coming. You want to hear a list of all the false claims from Santos? Just the headlines on this?
Oh, about his resume and his background?
He claimed that his grandparents were Holocaust refugees who fled Ukraine and Belgium. Grandparents were born in Brazil.
In the name Santos, but you could have grandparents on the maternal side. That's why I didn't.
He claimed that he's biracial, that his father was born in Angola. There's no evidence of that. He claimed to have a Jewish background, but that's not true. Let's see what else here. He claimed that his mother was the first female executive at a major financial institution, and then she was in the South Tower of the World Trade Center and died a few years after the 9/11 attacks.
Wow.
Actually, the mother was in Brazil, and she hasn't been in the U.S. since 1999. She was a domestic worker and a home care nurse, not a major executive.
Nobody challenged all this when he was running for Congress?
No. He claimed he went to Horace Mann School, which is an elite prep school in the Bronx. There's no record of him there. He claimed he had a bachelor's degree in finance and economics from Baruch College and graduated in the top percentile of his class, 3.89 grade average. Some people said they remember him taking classes at Baruch, but there doesn't seem to be any record of a graduation or a degree. Claimed he was a star player on the Baruch volleyball team and that he won the league championship. And he had an injury and both knees needed to be replaced. But he actually never graduated from any college. Although he also said he had an MBA from New York University and a 710 score on the graduate management admissions test. That turned out not to be true either. He claimed, at times he was known as Anthony Zabrowski and Anthony DeVoider, and claimed he was a journalist for a Brazilian media company. Times could not find his name on the organizational website. He also claimed he was a model who worked at the New York Fashion Week event and appeared in Vogue. claimed he was a seasoned Wall Street financier and investor and worked for Citigroup and Goldman Sachs. Neither company has any record of him.
That's a serial liar to the... Usually these guys can't get to Congress. I mean, not that that's such a high bar.
Yeah. not nice job the local media did on this race, huh?
Wow, that's crazy.
I know.
All right, we got more coming up. When we return, another thing happened in Congress, which is amusing enough to talk about because it involves a California Congress member. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeart Radio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
All right, now we were just talking about some crazy Congress people yelling at each other in the steps of the Capitol yesterday. The subject mostly was this New York congressman by the name of George Santos, who will not resign.
Wait, isn't he a real mental patient? He lives in a complete fantasy world.
He is a serial liar to the 1,000,000th degree, and now he's actually facing federal charges. But the plan to get him out of Congress, which was introduced by Democrats, didn't get enough Republican votes, so it failed. So he can probably stay until the next election next year, I would imagine, unless he is convicted before then. The other Congress member we're going to talk about now brings us back to California. And this dope wants to replace Feinstein in the U.S. Senate. We're talking about Adam Schiff, and the reason he's back in the news is because, look, there's a lot of reasons that people never liked Donald Trump. And I actually understand that. But you have to be careful when you start manufacturing a case in order to make it so explosive that everybody would turn on Trump. And the one that, of course, got so much attention going back to 2016 was that the Trump campaign was in collusion with the Russians. That was the big hoax. That's what they wanted everyone to believe, the famous Russian dossier. And what happened this past week was a report came out from a man by the name of John Durham, a special counsel. The problem, when you look at this story and everything that's been written on his report, is that, at least according to what I can glean, there's no such thing as an independent investigation anymore. So whatever he wrote in his report, which apparently really went after the FBI, depends on which media covered it and their conclusions on it. The New York Times basically called it a nothing burger because in the end, he didn't talk about any criminal prosecutions.
And no, no,
there was,
but
no, there was this belief that this was a deep state collusion and many people would end up being indicted and blah, 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 blah.
But the
so that didn't come out of it. They're calling it a nothing burger.
Well, it's not a nothing burger because the conclusion was there was no such relationship between the Russians and Trump. There was no collusion.
That's just as an important collusion. Exactly
that,
right.
That he doesn't have exactly.
And Adam Schiff, more than anybody, led this hoax.
Adam Schiff is like that.
I'm looking at a quote of his from 2017. He basically said that there is clear evidence on the issue of collusion between the Kremlin and Trump's 2016 campaign. I don't want to go into specifics, but I will say there is evidence that's not circumstantial. And as I said all along, there's plenty of evidence of collusion. That was Meet the Press 2017.
Yeah, but he doesn't want to go into details because there aren't any details. It was made up. This is the state of our politics now. Everybody lies. The default is to lie. Everybody is making stuff up. Period. That's all. They're just lying. It doesn't matter what the report says. He could have printed green eggs and ham, and the Republicans would have said, well, there's a smoking gun, and the Democrats would have said, oh, it's a nothing burger. It didn't have to say anything. It didn't matter. This is all performance now. It's all theater.
It is, and it's just to make the points. And on this one, and if you're going to say, you're right, because in the end, the report concluded there was no collusion. That's a key conclusion. But the other side just takes it and says, well, you didn't indict anybody. Nobody's under arrest.
Right.
Therefore, really, what do you have there?
That's
right?
Changing the subject.
That was supposed to be the big payoff here, that there would be people taken away in handcuffs.
Yeah, that's changing the subject. The subject is there was no connection between Trump and the Russians before the election. That was a false report paid for by the Hillary Clinton campaign to derail Trump. Period. That was the purpose of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, they derailed him to some extent.
So Schiff was the top Democrat at the time on the House Intelligence Committee. And he's in the news because a Florida congresswoman named Anna Paulina Luna filed a resolution to expel him because he pushed this false narrative to the American people about the Trump-Russia connection, which wasn't true. And he spent years on this. And that's kind of what you do. I remember when Obama was president, it was Daryl Issa's job to bring up there may be truth to some of these scandals or not, but that's you have to have somebody that becomes like the major public attack dog that is in charge of attacking but a lot of the opposition president.
A lot of it's nonsense. Even the stuff Daryl Issa did, some of that was a complete waste of time. Most of the stuff is a waste of time because all they end up doing is having these theatrical hearings and making wild claims, many of which you can't prove or they're false, and none of them really matter in anybody's life to begin with.
Right. But this is going to become bigger because it's become pretty clear with one of the big stories this week that Dianne Feinstein is in no condition to serve in the United States Senate. And as you probably know, the other day reporters got a chance to shout some questions at her in the hallway, and she didn't even know she was missing for 3 months from D.C.
Did you see the Daily Mail story today?
About that? Or
Feinstein. The headline is, Feinstein is more frail than thought. Shingles has caused facial paralysis, vision, memory, and language problems. Apparently, one of the side effects is called Ramsey-Hunt syndrome. And that causes the facial paralysis and the vision and balance issues. The virus causes encephalitis. That's brain swelling. You have lasting memory or language problems.
I think when you're 89, it'll be very, very tough.
Sleep disorders, confusion, mood disorders, headaches, difficulty walking. So the shingles have now, at least a byproduct of the shingles, it's attacked the brain. So in addition to whatever dementia she has, the brain is now malfunctioning because of this Ramsey-Hunt syndrome. And that's why she looks so weird. Remember, there was like one eye open, one eye closed?
Yeah, she was drooping there in the photo.
That's part of her face is paralyzed there.
For folks who don't know, shingles is just a chickenpox virus that gets reactivated in your body. And when you're 89, your immune system is already probably mostly shot. That's the kind of damage it can probably cause. So, I mean, Schiff is one of the three idiots that wants to replace her, Barbara Lee, and that Katie Porter woman from Orange County are the three that are running. Although, if she steps down before next year's election, Gruesome Newsom appoints somebody to replace her. That probably will be Barbara Lee because he says it'll be a black woman. He just made that. This is what these progressive Democrats do. I'm already telling you what race and ethnicity, or rather what race and gender the person's going to be. That I'm going to appoint next.
And it doesn't matter if they're incompetent, like Kamala Harris.
No, it's all about quotas.
Yeah, it's all about ethnicity and skin color. And I mean, Karen Bass actually would have been miles ahead of Kamala Harris if you're going to go that route, if you're going to insist.
I remember they were the two VP choices, weren't they, allegedly, for Biden?
But, you know, clearly Karen Bass is far sharper than Kamala Harris is. So yes. I don't see Harris qualified for anything. I don't know how she got as far as she did. Well, I think I do know.
Oh, that was a story this week, too. It's another reason why Biden announced he's running again, because everyone told him, if you don't run, then she will. And we don't want that right now. She's not ready.
She's not ready.
Yeah, there's still some that believe that with some seasoning.
Some seasoning.
Some
what would that
work,
be? Salt,
more
pepper?
Time in the spotlight trying to speak not in riddles or in circles or in word salads. She might be ready for the real limelight.
Some people just don't have it.
Yes, I think you're right.
What's keeping me from a Major League Baseball career is not seasoning.
It's just raw talent.
Right, exactly. A complete lack of athletic talent is what it is.
All right, we got more coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/news. That's LifeLock.com/news to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
Can I just read something just for a minute? It's a follow-up to what we were talking about. You were talking about how, you know, that report came out in Washington about Trump and Russia collusion. And then
the Durham report.
Everybody started lying about it. And there's a writer named Abe Greenwald, and he wrote this in a Commentary magazine a few months ago. And I'll truncate this. It's short. And he wrote, everyone lies now. It's an age of bipartisan, institutional, cross-cultural fabrication. And we're talking whoppers here. Public health officials lied about stuff with COVID. The bureaucrats and the media lied about the origins of COVID. The press lied about the peaceful nature of the BLM riots. Twitter lied about its policies. The entire medical and psychological establishment lies about the difference between male and female. And it's not just the establishment that lies. The anti-establishment types tell their own lies. They lie about the safety of vaccine. They lie about Russian and Ukrainian deaths. They lie about January 6th being an inside job. And we can't forget Joe Biden, who lies when he whispers and lies when he shouts. The president lies about everything from his policy record to his relationship with his son to his academic credentials. Biden has told three different lies about being arrested. Lying isn't special. It's the default mode of public debate in the 21st century. That's where we are. He's absolutely right.
Yes, although it does sound like it's from a right-wing perspective.
It is.
All the things he ripped were what the right-wingers ripped. Yeah, I just noticed that. That's all.
Yeah, but he's right.
I think there's lying on both sides. I think Trump was an incredible liar.
There's more since you brought up Trump. He says Trump ushered in or hastened an age of bipartisan, institutional, cross-cultural fabrication. If Trump does it more than anyone else, and he does, it shows how well-suited he is to his time and place.
Oh, all right. Well, there you go. There's a dig in there, at least. We're going to spend the rest of this half hour talking about social media. You may have heard, and I got to figure out, and I think Alex Stone is going to explain to us in the next segment, banning TikTok in Montana. Mm. So what happens when you cross the state line into Montana? It just the app just kind of fades, or
an officer is going to pull you over and delete TikTok from your phone.
there's actually border agents.
Well, you know,
there's an actual gate and a guard, and
you're going to be able
to hand us your phone. Let's make sure you do not have the TikTok app.
A Montana sheriff's deputy will arrive on horseback and pull out a rifle, and you'll have to delete the app in front of him.
This is all about concerns that the Chinese can dig in there and get some information, because allegedly there's ties. The owners of TikTok tied into the Chinese Communist Party. They deny that. But anyway, we'll talk to Alex in the next segment. The other social media story we're going to spend a few minutes on, and this seems to happen every year or two. Unfortunately, it's usually a woman. A woman decides to have some sort of body modification in order to improve their image, and in this case, it was on social media. The woman we're talking about apparently has a following. I don't know how big it was, but it says here that she has a following on social media, TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and OnlyFans because she resembles Kim Kardashian. So the woman that we're talking about apparently decided, right? Her name is Christina Ashton Gorkani from San Jose. And because she was doing so well, millions of views of her videos, because of her resemblance to Kim Kardashian, she decided she had to go further to resemble the Kardashian lady. So she wanted butt enlarging injections. I would say Kim Kardashian's known for that, John, right?
One of the largest bubble butts. Is that not right, Deborah?
It is correct.
And apparently highly appreciated by many, particularly men, who think that's sexy, right?
Her butt is larger than Deborah's entire body.
Wow. Did we do this some sort of measurement?
Measurements, official measurements were done.
I don't have a bubble butt, unfortunately.
I don't like bubble butts.
I've seen a lot of women with those bubble butts, I have to say.
To me, they're fat butts. It's just not my thing.
Well, I've read that there are some men that are very attracted to that. So, because you always complain about the waifish West Side women who are just so thin and they don't eat anything.
Yes, they look
like no butts.
Right. No, that's why there's a happy medium there between, on the West Side, the women look like 12-year-old boys.
So she goes online, which is mistake number two, and finds a Florida woman by the name of Vivian Alexandra Gomez. Gomez flies to San Francisco Airport, meets with Christina and her boyfriend. They go to some hotel, and she gives her injections, at least two injections of what was supposed to be what's described as gluteal silicone. Immediately after the injections, she begins to go into distress, convulsions. The boyfriend calls 911. They take her to a hospital. She dies the next day. According to her modeling website, Gorkani began her career as a fitness model, gaining social media recognition, as I said, as a Kardashian look like. And look at the photo of her. Facially, she does. Even her face resembles like a Kardashian, hairstyle.
I guess her butt fell short.
It looks to me, too, like she had some facial modifications, too. maybe she got criticized on social media. Though you don't have her butt.
That's a life well lived, isn't it? Dying because you're trying to look like Kim Kardashian.
Yeah.
Well, that's a worthy existence.
Silicone injections are made in areas with many blood vessels, such as the buttocks, and silicone can travel through these vessels to other parts of the body, and blood vessels can thicken in the lungs, the heart, or the brain. This can cause stroke or even death. We're talking about embolisms, disfigurement.
Embolisms and disfigurement.
Especially if you're going to have it done by some kooky Florida woman in a hotel room.
Because you want a fat butt.
There might be some professional plastic surgeon types who can do this in a real hospital environment, and it might come out better. I don't know that, but I'm just saying. But if you're going to hook up with somebody on social media, it's like buying your painkillers and finding fentanyl in it because you found a dealer on social media.
What a ridiculous species we are. I'm just astonished what the weird things people get obsessed with.
There's a lot of pressure on us women.
Do you feel a lot of pressure every day?
No, I don't. But I know a lot of people do, and especially people, I mean, this was in Florida, but especially people in L.A.
We're in really strange times. I was thinking about this today. Strange times. Just this, all this sort of in between. There are people that are very angry that this is, we still want women to look like this, and they feel like there's some societal pressure to have these kinds of plastic surgeries or injections or anything like that. But then we also have this upcoming class of non-binary people who decide, I'm not going to conform to your social construct of what a woman should like. But I'm going to be sort of gender neutral.
Yeah, but that's a tiny number of people. They're just getting amplified on social media and progressive media coverage. But it's still a tiny little number.
Yeah,
it's just it's become this daily obsession about all these alternate genders and sexualities, and this endless, mindless debate on all this stuff. And it's not something most people are interested. Nobody I know is interested in any of these things that are constantly blathered about on television and in the print media or the internet media. It's like a separate world from reality.
All right, we got more coming up. As we mentioned, we're going to be talking to L.A. City Councilwoman Tracy Park after the news at 3 o'clock. She's going after these people that rent out RVs to the homeless, which begins the process of the homeless parking the RVs in places that we can't get rid of them. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
All right, don't forget the Moist Line will be here tomorrow. Leave your messages by calling 1-877-MOIST-86, 1-877-664-7886. Or you can use the iHeartRadio app to connect to the Moist Line. The microphone icon is the way to do that. After 3 o'clock, we'll be talking to City Councilwoman Tracy Park. This is John's representative in the L.A. City Council, replaced Mike Bonin. And this is all about people who rent out RVs to the homeless, vans and RVs, and that, of course, is the fuel to get those stuck on the streets where we've had so many encampments that have RVs and vans showing up.
Alex Stone is coming on here.
Hello, gentlemen.
Montana is banning TikTok entirely in the state. Nobody can use this.
Yeah. So as of January 1, the governor signed it last night, and there's some interesting logistical questions out of this whole thing. But this goes back to the worry that China could be using TikTok to spy on Americans. It's owned by a Chinese company, and ByteDance, the U.S. side of ByteDance, says that China has no access to the U.S. servers, that the U.S. servers are strictly in the U.S., I believe, Oregon and Virginia. But there still is this concern on both sides of the aisle and in the FBI that the China's power over companies, that they could demand access into American cell phones and servers and get in there, and they could be spying that way. So there has been this push to shut down access to TikTok. Bunch of states have said on government devices, government workers are not allowed to use TikTok. But Montana is now saying statewide, everybody will be barred from using the app. It will be illegal to use in Montana. And again, this is on both sides. This is Senator Mark Warner, Democrat from Virginia. He says something needs to be done.
Our concern is that it poses both a data collection problem and the potential for TikTok to be used as a propaganda tool for the Communist Party.
Now, there is no evidence China's actually doing it. It's mainly the belief and the chance that they could be. The FBI has said we probably would not know if they were doing it, that China would be good enough to cover their tracks and we wouldn't know. But based on that what if, Montana's decided to block it. And a couple of things with this is there is no feasible way for a single state to enforce a ban like this, that you are told when you go to a hotel or to Starbucks, you're on a public Wi-Fi signal, use a VPN, a virtual private network. They are used all the time to secure data, to watch baseball or football games out of the TV market that you're in, that it essentially it connects you to a server that puts you in a different place and encrypts everything, or at least secures that data. So Montana, if somebody was on a VPN, they wouldn't know that they were in Montana. They would think that they're in L.A. and wouldn't know, even though they're sitting in Montana. But even if they did know, then what? Are they going to go to a 15-year-old on their cell phone scrolling through TikTok with guns drawn? No. And
what's the point of this?
It's more symbolic.
They say it's not symbolic. The governor says that this is a huge issue and it will be illegal in Montana. But then you got all the First Amendment issues, and the lawyers are lining up. They're already filing lawsuits against this. 150 million Americans communicate on TikTok.
Well, it seems like they might be able to make a case that it's a national security issue and that the federal government can do some type of ban.
Yeah,
but it would have to come from Washington. It couldn't come from
Well,
Montana.
And that is what the First Amendment lawyers, that is exactly what they're saying. That telecommunications issues, that is a federal responsibility. this is Ken White, one of those lawyers arguing it.
It's, with all respect to Montana, not necessarily the role of Montana to protect the national security of the United States of America. So, and particularly this would be a problem if you have a patchwork of 50 different laws across 50 different states purporting to regulate national security in different ways. That doesn't help national security.
So they are arguing that when you drive from California into Nevada, that you can't have different laws on what apps, what cell phone service you have, and what the cell phone rules are going to be. So, I mean, the fight is beginning right now. The new law doesn't go into place until January. There is a very real chance that it's going to get stalled or tossed out by the courts before then. But if it does go into place, users will not be fined or arrested. App stores would be fined for allowing people to download it in Montana. TikTok would be fined if users are caught using it in Montana. But again, how do they know that you're using it? If you are on a VPN or a GPS spoofer or one of those, tracking people down. So technically, it doesn't seem like there's a real feasibility of doing it. But they're saying you step foot in Montana, you open up that TikTok app, that you would be breaking the law.
Is there any proof that China has acquired any private information from TikTok users?
No, there's a lot of belief. And in China, the Chinese data may be handled differently.
I'm wondering, though, since the Democrats and the Republicans are agreeing on this and pushing it really hard, did they have a secret briefing from intelligence officials and there is something going on that nobody has spelled out publicly, but privately they know it's a real danger?
Maybe. They claim no, but maybe.
Yeah, but everybody
says it doesn't know.
A TikTok balloon is up there? Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's got a dancing video on it.
Right.
Yeah. But also, a lot of people make their money off of TikTok. There are careers that have been built on, and that's how social media influencers are making their money. So they're potentially, depending on where this goes, they would take a hit on this. And we'll see. I mean, maybe something will come from Congress at some point. It would be hard to regulate it even in the U.S., but easier to know where people are connecting from, not just within the boundaries of Montana, but within the borders of the U.S. At this point, come January 1, it will be illegal to use it in Montana.
Okay, Alex, thank you very much for that report. We appreciate it.
You got it. Thanks, guys.
Alex Stone, ABC News on Montana banning TikTok. When we come back,
more theater.
Another way to possibly attack the problem of all the vagrants. Well, they don't think they're vagrants because they're living in RVs and vans, right? I'm not living on the street or the sidewalk. I've got a shelter. Anyway, is to go after what they call the van lords, the people who rent or maybe sell these vans and RVs to the vagrants who then park them in places where they should not be. Coming up next, it's Councilwoman Tracy Park, who is proposing a new motion to do something about this. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
And Deborah Mark, live in the 24-hour KFI newsroom.
Hey, you've been listening to the John and Ken Show. You can always hear us live on KFI AM 640, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday, and of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
to the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.